Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Halfway through hour one, bringing you our next guest on the program. Joining me on the Western Hotline is ESPN's Marcel Louis-Jacques. Good morning, Marcel. I had four pastry donuts this morning.
Yeah, I almost went over to Publix to grab one of those strawberry.
Yeah, they were gone. Me and Leanna got the last like five. So.
Oh, tight. That just seems like a that seems like a recurring thing. You
seems like a me move, huh?
My intro properly. The proper intro would have been Marcel Louis-Jacques graciously blessing us with his time after I neglected to invite him to anything I've gone over the past 2 weeks. That would have been a proper intro, but it's okay. It's okay. We're getting past it. We're friends here. Everything's okay.
Yeah, and listen, at the end of the day, I like to think that whenever there's a fried chicken sandwich involved, that you are the one consistent in my life with fried chicken sandwiches. So take that for what it's worth, right, man?
Yeah, I mean, whatever's going to help me sleep at night, I'm going to try.
Whatever helps you put your head down on that pillow every night.
I feel pretty neglected here.
Well, you know what won't make you feel neglected is talking about the Bills, because they haven't really been giving us much to talk about for the better part of 48 hours or anything. So where I want to start with you is OTAs, because I think that's the important place to start, because nothing else happened outside of OTAs. One of the tweets you had earlier in the week was talking about the defense, right? And some of the things you were noticing while you were at practice. Obviously, there's parts of practices you can't film. The team portion, those are the things that I think maybe a lot of your takes earlier in the week about the defense were coming from. So help us visualize, help us understand a little bit of some of the things you saw from the defense this week that maybe, I know this time of year defenses are almost always in front or ahead of the offense, but, why do you believe that might be notable this time of year considering where the offense ended and brought everybody back?
Yeah, so to paint a picture of how these practices work, and I think I'm within the rules to describe it this way, they usually start, they stretch, they go into individual drills, so position drills, those are the things that we're allowed to take video of, and then they kind of congregate for team drills, and they'll split on each side of the field, offense on one, defense on the other. And the offense, very professionally, okay, come on, we're here, blah, 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 blah. I can't say exactly what they say. But the defense there is, they huddle up as an entirety. They're loud. They're cheering. It's energetic. Like, they're ready to go. It's like, it's like watching a high school team come out for homecoming game, almost. Like, that level of intensity and energy. And they bring it every single play. Every time they make a play, they incomplete pass, entire defense is cheering. Turnover, entire defense is cheering and running down the field with whoever's got the ball. I mean, it is noticeably different. And granted, offense doesn't really thrive on emotion and energy like
right.
defense does. And that is why, if we're looking back at the 2020 season, I believe it was Tre'Davious White and maybe Jordan Poyer who said, yeah, the lack of crowd noise impacted them early in the season. Like, that is something that they have to get used to. In their pro career, they've been playing in front of 70,000 plus every Sunday, every time they hit the field. Going from that to just nothing. So on third and short, you've got to manufacture that kind of emotion. And, not everybody can do it. It sounds easier than it actually is. It's probably easier for people who haven't been in that experience. And so I think, as Matt Milano said, it's been kind of a focal point. And, the competition, the the level of play, the new guys balling out, he says, have all led to this energy spike in the offseason. And I think, you know, with full crowds back, I don't want to sit here and say, you know, crowds are the reason why this defense is going to be back to normal. But I think with that level of intensity back, especially with 9 home games this year, I think we're going to see a return to the mean, a regression back to the mean, or a progression to the mean, I guess we should say, from Buffalo's defense.
You, I mean, you and all the media members, not just you, got an opportunity to talk to Star Latulale this week, who made his, you know, return, I guess, back to what I would call, they weren't voluntary, so he decided not to show up to voluntary, but he was here when he had to be. Having said that, I think a lot of people were reading the tea leaves with some of the things that Sean McDermott was saying during those voluntary workouts, which was, yeah, we're a little disappointed Star's not here, full year off, blah, 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 blah. We, you know, I think he said something along the lines of he's going to have a lot of catching up to do. Your thoughts of, A, when you saw him on the field, now there's no pads and he's a defensive tackle, so it's kind of hard to really give us a feel of maybe what you saw. But overall, where he comes into this situation, he's a pretty consequential player for the inside of this defense, Marcel.
Yeah, he looked good, and I can start there. He looked very good, and it almost seems obvious to say, because this guy has been in the NFL since 2013. You think he's just going to take and even before that was playing Division I football. Like, you think he's just going to take a year off and lounge on the couch for 12 months? Of course not. Like, the guy was working. He says that he's only a few pounds lighter than his normal playing weight. It just doesn't look. He looks a lot slimmer, a lot more compact. But as far as impact on the field, you know, he didn't participate in team drills that I saw. I believe either day. And McDermott, I think, painted a very realistic expectation for Star when he was asked about his return, saying like, yeah, he's gonna have some catching up to do. Like, and I think it was kind of a, you know, politically correct stance to take, because you don't want to disrespect the guys who were here last year and who did, you know, try to do what they could. And so that's why he says things like, you know, you do what you can with who you've got. I was impressed with what we did last year. He didn't want to come in and say, yeah, this is the guy, like, he's going to fix all of our problems. Thank God the other guys are bums. Like, we got our star back, no pun intended.
Nice.
But I think he was trying to temper expectations a bit there. But he did say that, you know, he gives them a point of attack on early downs. And he's going to eat space. That's what, you know, when the whole anti-Star movement was going on in 2019, that's what McDermott and Leslie Frazier would tell us, is that Star, he distracts, not distracts, but he attracts attention from opposing offensive lines. And he opens up pass rush lanes for guys like Ed Oliver, for guys like even Jerry Hughes or Mario Addison, if they're playing on the same side. I think everybody is going to benefit from a return of Star Lotulelei. But yeah, you know, as far as him not going to OTAs, I'm sure Sean McDermott was a little disappointed. And we've gotten, a quick side note, we've gotten a far more candid Sean McDermott, I feel like, this offseason than at any point that I've been here in any of my now 3 seasons with the Bills. I feel like he's, from criticizing the, you know, or expressing his concern about the locker room, to, you know, his outright praise of players, to just his a little less veiled disappointment of players not being there, like Star and Jerry and Mario. But in all reality, like I said, Star's been in this league a very long time. I am less surprised at Star not being at OTAs than I was at Vernon Butler not being at OTAs. That was the one that I didn't understand. Because, you know, Vernon, you got a lifeline. You got an ex machina,
right,
by coming to Buffalo after sort of flaming out in Carolina. You had one good season in Carolina. What are you
in his contract year, by the way. Yeah.
In his contract year. Yeah, that one was confusing, and nobody wants to talk about that one. I'm less surprised. And I think it's less of a deal that Star was. If Star played in 2020, we wouldn't be batting an eye at him not being at OTAs this year.
And you know what's funny too is I saw kind of a good. It was some of his podcast kind of posted. They posted defensive line in like 3 segments, which was like edge, interior and one tech, like the way that they sort of, especially when you consider who they have, Effie Obada, Greg Rousseau, Basham, like these guys are edge players but can play from the interior. So if they carry one, maybe two one techniques, that's going to leave a guy like Vernon Butler in a weird position, because I think they like Phillips. I think they like what Justin Zimmer did, and they're not going to carry a ton of one-techs on this team, because one-techs on this team this year, they might be two-down players. They might be playing on first and second down. You get to third down, I think Ed Oliver's bumping down to one, and I think you're bringing Rousseau, or you're bringing Obada, or you're bringing, you know, one of those guys in to play the three technique, which means there's just not a lot of room to be a big guy on this defensive line. If you get one or two of them on a game day roster, you better take every advantage to get yourself on film that you can at this point.
Yeah, I agree, and not to mention, like, I'm looking at their defensive ends, and we're going based on their primary position, not where they could play, but based on their primary position, there are six defensive ends that really are making this final roster. Brandon Bean has never kept more than five. There are years where he's kept four. So when you look at the locks, the three young guys are locks: Epinesa, Rousseau, Basham. They would have to end a life in order not to make this team.
Right.
Hughes and Mario Addison. I think there is a very clear plan for them.
Yep.
Hughes especially is a lock. Addison, the fact that he took a pay cut, the fact that he restructured his contract, I think is somewhat of a guarantee. Like, yes, you're going to be on this roster, because if not, they were going to cut him. Like that, I think that's just like with Tyler Croft the other year. It's like, okay, here, you can take your money now and void your last year, or you cannot have a job this year.
Right.
And so I think that bodes well for Mario Addison's standpoint. But that's five right there. And I think they love Daryl Johnson.
They love him, yeah.
He grew a little bit this offseason. Another lengthy, rangy defensive end. Great on special teams as well. He's right up there with Tywan Jones and Saran Neal, I think, and Tyler Matakevich as far as impact special teams players. So that's six right there. And then so what, they're going to keep 10 defensive linemen? That's going to take from somewhere else on the field. There's a very tight competition at wide receiver right now. A ton of depth on the offensive line as well. Like, so a corner as well. So there's like a lot of, I think when you look at the defensive line, I think that's going to impact how the rest of the 53 final roster plays out.
So I got to get your thoughts on some Matt Milano comments. Matt Milano was talking to the media, maybe this was Thursday, could have been Friday. I think it was Thursday. And he was mentioning some of the young guys, talking about how, you know, Rousseau and Basham really bringing the juice up front. But then he named a player, Nick McLeod, named him in his press conference, was the only player that he mentioned by name, as saying was somebody that sort of opened his eyes, that made an impression on him. When you're making impressions on veteran players as a rookie and as a guy that, you know, Nick McLeod, I any thoughts on that, and any thoughts on the fact that, you know, you talk about a player at a defensive back position right now, which might be more up in the air at cornerback two than maybe any time that I can remember. And maybe you can respond back to telling me that, Nate, I don't think it's up in the air at all. I think they feel pretty good about CB2. And I think that's probably the case. I just, maybe I'm not fully there yet with cornerback two.
Nate, I think they feel pretty good about CB2. I think Levi Wallace is I've been saying this for years too. Levi Wallace is a high floor, possibly low ceiling starter, though. Like, there, I don't think there's any doubt. He at corner is one of those positions, just like offensive line, where like if people are saying your name a lot, that's not a good thing. Like if you're aware of them, it's usually not for a good reason. So I think a lot of people remember the negative. And to be quite honest, there's only really one game that immediately sticks out of my head as a, oh, wow, Levi really struggled. They really struggled. And that was Browns in 2019. And he got lit up by Landry and OBJ. Other than that, I feel like he has been an above replacement level starter for Buffalo over the past 3.5 years. I don't think, you know, clearly I don't think they see him as a long-term fit, but he's like a, I don't want to say the Ryan Fitzpatrick of cornerbacks, but like he's a guy that you kind of know what you're going to get from him. I think Dane Jackson has been making a lot of plays throughout minicamp and OTAs. It's really going to turn up once you can really check receivers in training camp, once they put the pads on, once, you know, that the speed of the game goes up a little bit. I think it's really important to note. It might be by design. I'm not trying to disparage the offense at all, but the offense has kind of been going through the motions for the past month or so. And that's just the speed of this time of year. You know what I mean? Like, there's a that's why you're seeing things like, you know, AJ Epenesa batting balls at the line of scrimmage and picking it off at the line of scrimmage and running it back. That's where you're kind of getting a little frustration from Buffalo's offense, because one side is going significantly harder than the other. So when both of those start to even out and level out a bit, which is what happens in training camp when jobs are on the line, then let's talk about Nick McCloud. Then let's talk about Dane Jackson, or maybe even Rashad Wildgoose and Elijah Griffin. But until then, I mean, it's a big deal. I don't know what he's doing behind the scenes. Like,
right.
Nick McCloud might be a film room savant that we're not seeing, and maybe that's where Matt Milano's praise is coming from. I don't know. It's kind of hard, admittedly, to extract a lot of detail from Matt.
Yo,
I can only guess that's what he's talking about. But once the real pads start popping, then I'm more in on crowning guys as players to watch.
Total side note. I mean, I'm going like 180 on you here. And the reason is because I find this to be one of the most fascinating things of the last half decade of the NFL, which is the Las Vegas Raiders and their drafting in the first round. Vic Tafur of The Athletic this week tweeted about how Raiders corner Damon Arnette, the guy they drafted in the first round last year, is basically been an aftermath and is like playing on the third team defense right now in Las Vegas. Do you remember a time where a general manager and a head coach like Gruden and Mayock can get the draft so wrong so consistently and still have some of the most secure jobs in the NFL? Like, is there any other scenario like what we've seen kind of play out so far in Las Vegas? I can't even wrap my head around one other scenario that had two incompetent drafters as bad as Gruden and Mayock have been that are never on the hot seat.
I don't think so, because I think this, that Mayock and Gruden represent a significant egotistical investment on behalf of Mark Davis. I think you broke the bank to get John Gruden, a career average coach with one Super Bowl title, with Tony Dungy's team, if I'm not mistaken.
Yep. You're not mistaken.
You broke the bank. 10 years, $100 million to get John Gruden out of the broadcasting booth, and then you get another former broadcaster in Mike Mayock, and you get criticized, and you're just trying to. It's like when you have no idea why your friend is dating that person, but you give them such crap for it that they just are stubborn and want to stay with him because they don't want to admit that you're right and they're wrong. So I think that's kind of what we're seeing with Mayock and Gruden, because they haven't hit. And I think trading away a third round pick before the preseason is over is egregiously irresponsible.
Yeah,
especially if he pops, which is the reports out of Dolphins camp are that this guy can make some moves when the ball is in his hands. So when he gets a chance, if he pops, then a head or two should roll. But the thing is, they've somehow been on the cusp of the playoffs the past, I think, couple seasons, especially last season. But I think Gruden might have coached his way out of the playoffs, out of a game or two. So, you know, I don't know what that buyout situation is looking like. That 10-year contract really helps, or whatever he got. But, you know, we'll just have to see. You know, I'm a reformed Raiders fan. I grew up rooting for Oakland.
Yeah.
They, you know, I detached. I was detaching already before I started covering the NFL, and they just really gave me no reason for hope. And I can only root for so many of those hopeless teams. Like, I'm already a Sacramento Kings fan, and I'm not abandoning them because that's my hometown. So somebody had to go.
That makes sense. It's them. It makes sense that it's them. Yeah, it makes sense. All right, man. Appreciate you as always hopping on, giving us some good insights. I'll be hitting you up. We'll get some chicken here soon, you know, because I'm always in the mood for. By the way, I've got one to introduce you to. So I've got. Wait, have you had the fatty one yet or no?
No. Okay, we're gonna pictures.
I'm introducing you to that one.
Please do, because I've had Mr. Sizzle for like 2 days straight, and. I got to stop before they learn who I am.
Right, yeah. We don't have the luxury of wearing masks anymore. So, yeah, no, I hear you, man. Appreciate you, boss, and enjoy the rest of your weekend, man. I appreciate you as always.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.